It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Mr. Steve Sindelar, assistant to the president of BJU. The title of his message is, Living for God is No Accident. The text is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Have you ever asked yourself the no, it'll be okay questions? You know what kind of question I'm talking about? Maybe perhaps you're driving down the highway and you look down at your speedometer for some unknown reason and you realize that you're going about 10 or maybe 15 miles per hour over the speed limit, right? And you know that you've got to be to the place that you're getting to pretty quickly. You don't have that much time to get there, so you're like, no, it'll be okay. And plus, you know, I mean, I haven't seen a cop on this road for maybe 3, 4, 5 years. So, like a good driver, you take your eyes off the speedometer and look back at the road ahead of you. But in the twinkle of the rearview mirror, you start to see these lights. Then you realize it wasn't okay as you get pulled over by the police. Or perhaps maybe some of you can identify with this morning. You're graduating and you realize that you need a class for your major that's required. And so first semester, you make out your class schedule and you realize, no, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. I can take that class next semester for some unknown reason. So you do it. So second semester comes along and you look at the trial schedule and you realize that you need that same class. And then you start looking in your scheduled classes for second semester. And you look in your scheduled classes again and then again, and frantically you realize that they don't offer that course second semester, and perhaps maybe that's why you're here in summer school. This happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I was painting, and I had a ladder, and it was on scaffolding. And I normally put the scaffolding a certain way so that it, you know, wider is better so that it doesn't tip. When I'm up, I was up in about 2.5 stories. And for some unknown reason, I don't know why, I just went up there, looked down, and realized, oh man, I don't have the scaffolding the right way. Hope I don't fall, so I kept on painting along. Came down, repositioned everything, went back up. I mean, after all, it worked the first time, right? And then as soon as I looked down at the scaffolding, I saw it start to tip over. And before I knew it, I was landing in between the rungs of the ladder. And I had to lay there for a couple minutes. I wasn't sure if I had broken any bones, and I haven't, so that's a good thing. I'm not in the cast this morning. But I said, no, it'll be okay. It wasn't. I'm afraid maybe sometimes we do that with our spirituality, with our Christian living. Perhaps maybe sometimes we get in a circumstance or in a situation, and we have a choice confronted in front of us, and we say, no, it'll be okay. I'll do that next time, man. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. I'm afraid that sometimes we get really careless, really lazy with our spirituality. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I'd like to submit to you this morning, is all about living for God very purposefully. Because you can't live for God accidentally. You can't live for God accidentally. Living for God is no accident. And so this morning, I'd like to ask two questions to you to help you determine from the passage if you're living for God accidentally, if you're just kind of breezing along, if you're just kind of in automatic mode. Because Scripture clearly states here in Romans chapter 12 that that's not the way to be. That's not acceptable. So the first question for our diagnosis this morning is, are you living your life purposely? Are you doing what you do for a purpose? Are you purposely doing what you do? Look with me at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that's me if you know Christ, by the mercies of God, that ye what? That ye present. The first aspect here of are you doing what you do purposely is, are you making yourself available? Are you making yourself available? Do you present yourself to God? This is a mindset. This is something that you purposely do. You present yourself. It requires preparation. Perhaps someone can identify with this in here this morning. Your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, they're really, really, they think you're a special person. I don't know why, but they do, right? and they took a long time. They want to make a meal for you, and they took a long time at the grocery store and an even longer time in the kitchen. And as you get, you sit down at the table, you realize that hours and maybe even days have gone in to the preparation for this dinner. Why? Because you're a special person to them, right? Some of you are smiling out there. You know exactly. Maybe you've done that. You're a special person. And presenting yourself requires preparation if you're presenting to someone who's special. Is God special with you? Do you present yourself and do you prepare yourself? Well, how do I prepare myself? This is a good start in summer school. This is a good start in the Word and prayer and getting plugged into a local church. Do you prepare yourself? But presentation not only requires preparation, it requires dedication. Present what? Your body. Man, I don't know about you, but you can take anything else, but don't take my body, because basically after that, I have nothing, right? It requires dedication. Present your body. Man, that's all that you have on this side of heaven, right? I mean, besides your spirituality, besides your spirit and your intellect, if they take that away from you, you've got nothing here. That requires ultimate dedication. Present your body. Dedication. But notice, lastly, making yourself available requires surrender. Present your bodies what? As a living sacrifice. Did you come down the aisle this morning? Did you come sit in your chapel seat? Did you just kind of plop down? Man, 9:40. Tuesday morning, summer school. I understand. Maybe some of you guys haven't had a break from second semester to first semester. That's rough. I know. I'm not beating you up on that. But listen, guys, presenting yourselves as a living sacrifice requires the utmost in surrender. Did you sit down this morning and instead of going through the mundane song and the mundane prayer and the mundane creed and the mundane... Or did you sit down and did you figuratively light yourself on fire as a burnt offering so that your sacrifice would rise up and please the nostrils of your God who loves you so much? Is that the kind of surrender that you have to Him this morning? Or is it just kind of, just automatic pilot mode? Make yourself available. But not only do you make yourself available by presenting yourself to God, make yourself available by setting yourself apart to God. Notice the next text here. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. How? Holy. Holy. Well, oh no. Here it comes. So you need to be set apart. You need to be unique. They don't just make that up here at Bob Jones University. It's not just some weird, oh, let's stand out from the rest of everybody else. The Amish do that pretty well, don't they? No. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What? Set apart, unique, distinct to your God. There is a reason why you don't go to some places. There is a reason why you don't wear some things. There's a reason why you don't listen to certain songs and to certain groups. There's a reason why you don't go to certain places with your coworkers. Why? Because your whole life you're presenting yourself, your bodies, as what? As a living sacrifice. How? Set apart holy unto God. Make yourself available. Not only that, make yourself acceptable. Make yourself acceptable. How do I do that? Why do I do that? Well, text pretty much says it, right? Holy and acceptable unto God. How do I make myself acceptable? Well, first of all, you must be an offering, as the text clearly says, as a living sacrifice. You must be an offering. So in order to help me out this morning, I need two volunteers, and we need to do this quick. So somebody in the front, and if you want $20, you'll probably want to volunteer. Is there anybody? If not, I'll just have to... Wow, you guys are dead. Okay, come on up. One more. All right, come on up. Yeah, you have a cooler shirt. Sorry. No, come on up. Come on up here. I have to stay kind of by the microphone. So I have $20 in my pocket, right? Two twenties. Is this acceptable for you? Will you take this if I offer it to you?
Sure.
What's your name? I want to know
David.
Your name. David, here's $20. All right, thanks. You can sit down. And what's your name?
Ken.
can I have 20 bucks? For this 20 bucks, I'm not married yet, so I live with a couple other guys. We split the rent, that sort of thing. And I was wondering if you'd come over and you'd clean. I've got a pretty clean bathroom, but the other guys, I don't go in there, and there's a reason why. Also, my car's dirty. I love a clean car. And gas is really expensive, so for this 20 bucks, will you do all that?
Nope.
By the way, it costs 50 bucks to fill up my gas tank. So you won't do that?
No.
Okay, all right, sit down. Sorry. But what was acceptable? Why was the $20 acceptable? Where do you go? Are you going out? See you later. Teachers, be nice to him afterwards. What was acceptable? Why did you take the $20? Because it was 20 bucks. But to him, it was like 50 hours plus of man hours, right? And then losing 30 bucks after a $50 fill up at a gas station. What's an offering, guys? An offering means that there's no strings attached. That's what's acceptable to God. That there's no strings attached. Lord, you can take my life, but man, don't take that relationship. Don't take that amount of time in my life. Don't take that chunk of savings in my account. That's not acceptable to God. That's not an offering to God. And we go up and down the aisles and we sit in our chapel seats and we think, man, hey, we're all right. But as studying this passage out, man, there were so many things that I'm really kind of holding on to some stuff to God. What about your service to Him? Some of you know that the way to get up into the universities, to be very visible, is to serve, is to go on extension. What kind of a motive is that? What kind of strings attached do you have to your service? Perhaps some of you just go to church because you're getting serious with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And they're starting to ask questions and they want you to start going to church with them. And you're like, okay, just because you're really cute. What kind of strings are you pulling with your offering? Some of you are sitting here and you're like, man, I don't have anything. I mean, I don't know what the Lord could use me for. I mean, I can't speak. I can't get up in front of people like this. There'd be no way. I mean, I don't get very good grades. You know, I can't even pray very well in public. Guys, God doesn't want a fortune. He just wants whatever you have with no strings attached. Are you making yourself acceptable to God, an acceptable offering? Not only should this be an offering with no strings attached, but it should be an offering that is from the heart. Mother's Day was recently, right? How many of you got your mom something for Mother's Day? The rest of you don't even, your moms are probably pretty upset. Listen, I got my mom flowers for Mother's Day. Don't tell her this, but I think sometimes flowers are a huge waste of money. I mean, it costs a lot. She's in Florida, I'm in Greenville, so I had to send them, and it just costs a lot. And they die, and you know, it's like 3 hours of beauty, and you put them on the table, and it's like, oh, you got me something, right? I mean, a guy, at least, we think it's pretty impractical, right? Pretty much a waste of money. But for my mom, she loves it. But what if I wrote on the card, if I said, Mom, you know, love you. Happy Mother's Day. Man, did I have to spend a lot of money on these flowers, and they're kind of worthless. But, you know, I know that you like flowers, and I know it would be pretty much unacceptable for me not to do anything. And, man, here's just flowers. Take them if you want anything else, you know. So my mom wouldn't talk to me probably for a really long time. It would probably take for me to get married and have children before she'd come around because she loves babies. I don't think she would come talk to me until then. Do you reluctantly give? Is everything an obligation to you, or is it something in the heart? Is it acceptable to God? Or is it just kind of, I hang my head and just do whatever? Do you look forward to non-spiritual things, like wasting time, hours and hours in front of TV or in movies or in video games? Man, there's nothing wrong, and I'm not going to get on you for just doing it for a little bit. But look, if that's your life, if that's what you look forward to, if that's the pinnacle, there's something wrong. Nobody's perfect, but there's something wrong. Is your life, is your heart, is it acceptable? Is your offering acceptable? Is it something from the heart? You start making excuses for not going to prayer meeting or not doing this or not doing that spiritual thing. Do you become very critical of your spiritual authorities? No one here does that, right? Small rules become big problems. Apathy begins to age. Things start not applying to you, right? It's no big deal, right? I mean, after all, they're just too strict around here, right? That's a heart problem. That's unacceptable to God. Summer school's ending. Is your just pulse right now, man, I just can't wait to get out of here and get out of their accountability. I just can't wait to get out of their just grip. That's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Other translations have spiritual worship. I don't have time to go into the Greek here, but the essence, the point here is the fact that this offering that you give, it must be complete. It must be comprehensive. Look, nothing on this physical realm is just strictly physical with you. If you know Christ as your Savior, if you're one of His, everything that you do has a spiritual implication. Whatever your hand finds to do, it's not just something physical, but it's an offering to your God. It's a spiritual sort of worship. That means that worship just isn't in church. Worship just isn't on Sundays and Wednesdays. Worship is a day in and day out from the time you get up, probably even while you're sleeping. Is your offering complete? Is it comprehensive in your life? Is it a sort of spiritual worship? He is Lord of all. Or what? Not Lord at all. Does He have everything in your life? He is Lord of all, or He is not Lord at all. So that was the first question. First question of diagnosis this morning. Are you doing what you do purposely? But what's the second question? What's the other indication of whether we're living purposely or whether we're just saying, whatever happens today, if I have a good spiritual day or whatever? Because living for God is no accident. Second question is, are you purposely thinking what you think? Are you purposely thinking what you think? The text says, and be not conformed to this world or age. Be not conformed to this world or age. And this word conformed, it comes up one other time in the New Testament in 1 Peter. And it has to do with, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former lusts. So this conformity here is clearly a bad thing. Do not be conformed to what? This present age. Why? Because this world system, this way of doing things here, it's not about God. It's all about self and about Satan. So do not be conformed to this age. But what? Think on the next age. Think on the age to come. Transformation. It requires transformation. Do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed. This word, you've probably heard it 1,000 times, this word transformed. That's how we got our English word metamorphosis. This is a change from the inside out. Do not be conformed to this world. So how do you do that? Think on the world to come. Be conformed, if you will, to the next age. And it's really even more than that. It's a transformation. It's a change from the inside out to the age to come. But how do I do that? What's this all about? Who does this speak of? It speaks of Him who is the ruler of the age to come forever. Think on the next age. By the renewing of your mind. See, it's part of your mind. It's a part of your mind. Think on the age to come. Transformation begins in the mind. Can I ask you a question? What are you willing this morning just to write off as entertainment? Do you know what I mean? Oh, that's just entertainment, that movie. I mean, yeah, it's got a couple of these and it's got a couple of those no-nos, but it's just entertainment, right? Or what about the books? Or what about the really graphic video games, right? It's just entertainment, isn't it? Transformation begins in the mind. Begins in the mind. How about your internet viewing? Man, it might not be something really bad like pornography, but are you just wasting time? Are you kind of going to sites that kind of fuel other thinking? Transformation thinking begins in the mind, obviously. It begins in the mind. Or how about, I'll do it just once, right? Just one time. Your coworkers are going out after work and you know that they are a rowdy group. They like alcohol and they probably aren't the purest bunch either. And it's real late and they want you to come. Oh man, I'll just do it just once, right? That's not transformational thinking. Because when does I'll do it just once become more than just once? How many times have you been saying that in some areas? The next part is just really exciting for me. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? Or what? That ye may prove. And the word, the Greek word here is that you may prove by testing. What is what? What is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God? You see, transformational thinking, thinking on the age to come, has a whole set of consequences. And they're really quite pleasant. I bought my friends' children, so little ones, an ant farm. And it's not just some normal ant farm. It's this cool space-age one, right, that's got the clear gel in it so that you can see them digging the tunnels. Really neat stuff. I mean, we sat there, we opened up this ant farm, we threw the ants in, closed the lid, just sat there and watched them like this for probably 5 minutes. And they're just running around. We're just waiting for them to dig in and start tunneling. Well, the directions said it might take them a couple hours. And this gel stuff, it has their water and their minerals, so they don't need anything else. They just kind of eat that and dig tunnels, and they're happy. Ants, I know, I'm sorry. It's pathetic. I have a pathetic life. But listen, These ants, right? They start digging away at their tunnels. And they start carrying these what they would consider these huge stones, right? Up to the top and start making their little ant hills. Things that are 10, 100 times heavier than they are. There will be stones in your life. That's what this passage is all about right here. There will be stones in your life. There will be testing in your life. There will be stones. But will they be stones of stumbling? Or will they be stones for stepping? See, a transformational person, he takes something that God has set in his course, a test to prove what is good, what is his will. He takes what God has given to him as a test and he says, look, this is a test from God, man. This is nothing. Man, if I just think a transformational person's thoughts, if I think on the next stage, if I think according to this book, it's not a stone for stumbling. It's not a test to throw me off course. No, it's a stone for stepping. Man, we just need to get some ant theology a little bit. They just take those things and move them and place them. You see, that's the whole part of opening yourself up as a living sacrifice to God. That's the whole part of being a burnt offering that rises up and pleases Him, is that He's going to put tests into your life. He's going to put these stones into your life. And they're designed for you to step on, to kind of maneuver here and here and here to find the will of God. The will of God is not some abstract, some sort of untouchable, unknowable thing. No, you just do what you know to do by the Word of God. And what happens when tests come in your life? What happens? You just do what you know to do from the Word. And those become stones of stepping, not stones of stumbling. Are you accidentally living your Christian life this morning? Or are you living life for a purpose? People live carelessly. It's all around us. They live lazily. They sort of just kind of float on by, but that has nothing to do with the spiritual life. Living for God is no accident.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. Steve Sindelar, assistant to the president of BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.